Welcome to the Bodice Rippers Romance Novel Podcast, a podcast where we take a deep dive into the world of romance novels, looking not only at the nitty-gritty and sometimes steamy parts of romance novels, but we like to also look at the many different aspects that bring this genre together. We like to look at the authors and looking at their strengths and weaknesses, looking at the process of the authors, and also looking at the historical aspects of romance novels. We're a bunch of nerds, but it's going to be a lot of fun, so get ready.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Bodice Rippers. This is our first official episode and I'm really excited. And I also love the fact that we call it Bodice Rippers and then every time I have to hear Nina, our podcast producer, to say the word Bodice Rippers, I like die laughing because it's almost like she's uncomfortable saying it.
Can I just tell you the story? She literally saw this somewhere in one of our platforms and she had to send me a message where she was like, Krista, is this podcast called Bodice Rippers? But she messaged me this morning and she was very excited to find our bumper music. And she's like, so are we thinking more like sensual? I said, yes, I need sexy bumper music, Nina. So I'm going to make her real comfortable in this.
With some baby making music for our podcast intro. That's what we need. And so, yeah, this is going to be so fun for her to listen to and have to edit. So, hey, Nina, here's a big quick shout out for you. Yes. So this is our first episode. Krista, hit us with what we're going to talk about today.
Okay, so we are doing the deep dive into one of our more recent favorite romance authors, who is the illustrious Rebecca Zanetti. And she writes prolifically, you know, as we've talked about before in the past, where she has multiple series, and those series tend to be, I don't know, 75 books long. They just keep going, but we love her for it. And I like her too, right? Because if you've never read her before, she crosses genres, which I really appreciate. So she has a huge series, which is what we're going to really talk about today, which is the Dark Protector series, which that does have 75 books in it. But that's supernatural. But she also has just quote unquote human series and no supernatural to it. And then I don't know if you've read some of her earlier stuff, but she goes way back to like a little bit of Western too. So she's got kind of the cowboy influence. She's got more current time. She does have the Deep Ops series, which she recently released. She just released a new one too. I think about a female defense attorney or lawyer. I haven't read that one yet, but.
Oh, I read the series. It was very good.
So good. So I haven't read that one yet. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So interestingly enough, on her website, RebeccaZanetti.com, she really only has two main categories. So she has paranormal is one of her categories, and then romantic suspense is the other category. So I don't know where she puts like her Western ones, which I need to get in on that because those are some of my favorite Nora Roberts ones are the Westerns. And one of the newest one that came out is not only one of the defense attorney ones, it is a holiday one. So yes, that one.
Yes. Did I read that one? It's hard to say.
The new one is called Holiday Rescue.
Oh, no, I haven't. Oh, well done. Okay.
And then she has one coming up on the 28th of September called Santa's Subpoena. So we'll have to definitely read that.
Stop. No. Yep. Okay. You just managed to make subpoena sound like erotic.
So we'll definitely need to get into those. That'll be another topic for another day for sure.
We move into the holiday, you know, festivities and cheer, we should do a whole podcast just on the holiday novels that we'll be reading. Yes.
1000%, which makes so much sense. If I was an author, I would totally crush Christmas writing because it's such a time where people will buy anything that like gets them in the holiday mood. So hell yes, hit me with some romance holiday novels.
This is true because everyone can read about that at really any time during the year, but it's like, who doesn't want to like curl up with your cocoa and, you know, read about this idyllic, you know, Christmas year round town. That happens a lot in the romance novels I've read where it's like, we're just going to nestle into the mountains of California where it's like super like picturesque little like village where everyone knows each other. It's like Thomas Kincaid just threw up everywhere, you know, kind of thing. And even though Christmas is only for the month, it really happens year round. So yeah. And then you have hot characters. Okay, great.
Usually danger, something dangerous happening.
Dangerous. Yes. Yeah.
You know, whatever. So we'll definitely need to dig into that one. So in her dark paranormal category, the collection, I guess we would call it. I don't even know what you'd call this because there's so many different pieces to it, but it's called Dark Protectors, right? That's what we decided. The Dark Protector series. There is actually in this series 14 books with two
novellas.
two novellas. Oh no, they're just collections of the same, of part of the books. Okay, that's what we say. So going through, and I think she does have another series called Realm Enforcers that is a side series.
Yes. Yeah. She does a lot of, which everyone does, right? Those spinoff characters into, you know, side series or the, you know, the prequels, if you will, as well.
In the same universe or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And one thing that you had mentioned before is the fact that while this is paranormal, while it is like kind of fantasy, she does seem to be the closest where you would believe it, right? Like the most believable books about vampires or whatever. So explain that a little bit to everybody.
Yeah, so she really does a nice job of that. So in her series, she has a number of different creatures, you know, if you will, and it's humans and vampires, and I believe there's like werewolves, and there's
witches
and
demons.
Thank you very much. Yes, the demons, and then there's the Kurgans, who are like the, you know, half like a worse form of the
villains
kind of thing. Yeah, the villains. So what's really interesting though is, and I think it's because, well, first of all, what I love about Rebecca Zanetti too is it very much, she's building a family, you know, with her characters, right? So of course you have everyone who's like coupling off and falling in love, but then they have kids and their kids are friends, but you still, even with the villains, you have this empathy for them, you have this sympathy for them, and there's still this real like familial thread that kind of underlies all the books that she writes. But that makes it feel very real. So when she talks about like the main, you know, protagonists tend to be the males, tend to be the vampires, until she sort of spins out to the other creatures who become the male, like the male protagonist later on in her series. You're like, oh yeah, it's totally believable. I completely believe that you're a vampire. But she does it in such a way where it's like the typical myths of vampire isn't necessarily true, right? Like they don't explode in the sunlight. They don't, you know, have to be drinking blood all the time, you know, kind of thing. So it's like she's made them very human in her approach to how she's writing, and like that's really nice. So in my head I'm like, as she's painting a scene, or when they're all in like the underground, you know, caverns that they live in, you know, at the beginning of some of the books, it's like, yeah, I actually want to go live there. Like I want to live at the compound. It totally makes sense. Like there's this huge community of people, all of these really cool like magical abilities that you're also like, yeah, that seems very real, like very possible, you know. She's a good job at that.
And the whole, even the word magical isn't, I don't feel like it's even the right word to describe it, right? It is very, it's something that maybe could be true, like to be perfectly honest. How she describes the different creatures or races of these individuals is, it's genetic, it's DNA. So it's, they have, you know, being a vampire just means you have a couple more chromosomes, or you know, you have a couple less chromosomes, or you have different things, or, so it's something where you're like, that's actually plausible. Like if, instead of having, what do we have, 23? I don't even know. And then instead of that, you have 36. Like, of course, that would cause some changes in a human being. And so they are in this book, in this universe, they are, why can't I think of the word? They can't die. Hello.
Immortal.
Yeah, thank you. They're immortal, so they can't die. Of course, they can get killed, but they don't just die of old age. And then they do have fangs that are retractable. But that's, they don't like just drink blood for the hell of it.
No, they're very much fitting into kind of what you and I would consider a normal, like human quote unquote community, which is great. And I love that piece of it. I do love this one. And most good romance novelists do this, where they have those groups of people. They have a friend sets, right? Friends who all, maybe they don't get along initially, but then they come to really love and support each other. So you have that good group of girlfriends who are also the wives, or, you know, fiancés or whatever. And then the guys are the same way. So you have all this like really cool cross, you know, family engagement that happens at like at the end, you know, when you get towards the very end of this series in particular, you know, they're all in an above ground community, right? Each kind of in their own houses. It's very compound like, but not compound like in that sense, right?
Its own village, I would say.
Its own village, yeah. And then they're all having like parties at the end, you know, with each other, and sort of just really appreciating the fact that they're all, you know, together and sharing this experience with each other, kind of thing. After many, many books of potential tragedy and death and dying,
it's interesting too, because they are immortal, you can weave these characters in and out and go through a long period of time. So just like you mentioned, it starts out with like a group of brothers, right? I think there's four. Yeah. And then they end up the first few books are, I think, a pair of sisters get married, and one of them has a daughter already. So the very first book is main character, I want to say his name is Talon, is on the first book, right. marries yeah. a woman who has a daughter by, you know, her first husband. Then the next book is the brother, who's the king, marries her sister. And all of these women that they're ending up marrying and paired with have abilities. So they're women that have either telepathy, or they have high levels of empathy, or they can see the future, or which also I don't believe is too far-fetched, right? Like, you and I have met people that have high levels of empathy, and that you're like, it's almost uncanny that they can read people's emotions and feel like that. So yeah. even these women that have these supernatural abilities, you're like, that seems totally plausible. Like, all yeah. of that makes sense. Because she writes it so realistically. But then, because they are immortal, there is, I don't even know what book it is, maybe book like 10, you go from this core group of brothers to like the daughter now, who pairs with a new character. And then you go into her daughter. So I do like that too, where it's very generational and there are problems, but it is very interesting because they have their, each book has its own individual problem and solution, you know, like big giant climax, and then you go down. But it all is intertwining with a giant overreaching story.
Yes.
Like there is one common thread and one big, I don't know, come to Jesus, if you will, that you're, it's all building towards.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very much true. Like there's always that, that climax moment, right?
Yeah. And there's always problems, obviously, but it's very similar to any kind of generational thing, right? Like you look at any kind of society and there's problems, but always in to tell one big story of a country or a clan or whatever, you know, like a clan in Scotland or a dynasty in China. They all go through the different generations, but it all ties in when you're telling a story of this dynasty. Well, all of the pieces fit together. So it is super interesting. And the thing I like too, do you remember the books about that have the witches in them?
Oh, yes. Yes, vaguely, because it's been a while since I've read, but yes. Mm-hmm.
So what I thought was interesting too about the witches is that is totally something where I feel like it's very realistically written, because the witches in the series, they don't perform spells. They like call on energy. So they can like pull energy from the atmosphere and use it and manipulate it. And I'm like, that's real.
Yeah.
Yeah. Real thing. Like, all of the way she describes it, I'm like, so she's incredibly intelligent as like a writer. And it's clear that she does a lot of research, because she even weaves in like physics and
quantum physics. And yes. she really goes like in astral planes and things like that. So yeah,
string theory, time yeah. travel, portals, like all of that. I'm like, there's a lot of kind of like leading edge science intertwined with all of this stuff.
There is. And I mean, she's a New York Times bestselling author, which obviously gives her that hallmark too. But I think there is that big difference. Cause I know, you know, between the two of us, we've read a lot of romance novels, and you do, and mass credit to anyone who's ever written a book, because it's a huge, huge undertaking. Right. But you can tell the difference between, I think, the people who just take it that one step further versus the ones who are like, hey, I'm just going to write like, and I still appreciate those, but I've definitely read some romance novels where I'm like, oh, this is a real simple plot. You stay really within the parameters of that kind of formulaic like romance novel approach, which is totally fine again. But then you have people like, you know, Zanetti and Nora Roberts who really do, you know, go to that next level of like the research is there, and you're taking that time to really like expand sort of the breadth of what the novel is. And for that, I really, same thing. She's super intelligent. I really, you know, appreciate that. But can we talk about the fact that the covers for romance novels?
As I'm staring at about 75 pectorals.
Not that I mind, because, oh, like for instance, I was in California 2 weeks ago. I was on a run around Mission Bay early in the morning, and I fully got passed by a group of young 20 to 25 year old men without their shirt on. And I told my husband afterwards, I was like, that was a delicious moment of eye candy that I fully enjoyed for myself. Like, and my other part of my brain was like, oh, how long were you behind me? Not great. Not great at all. But so I enjoy like a naked torso, absolutely. But there has to be, there's some code amongst romance novel cover artists that like, you have to stay within this like structure.
Well, and it's like, it's like, I don't know. It's like, I can't believe there's this many people like that have abs like that. Like, how did you find this many people?
Right. There's
a different person every time.
Did Chris Hemsworth just sit for you for every single photo? I don't know. Or yeah. It's just many, many Photoshops. The other thing that kills me about romance novelists too is, for the most part, when I look them up, like Zanetti in her profile picture, right? She's probably, she here looks like late 30s, really pretty. Maybe. Yeah, she's pretty baby-faced at the end of the day, you know, kind of thing. But when you look up romance novelists, for the most part, do they not seem like they're like mid-60s, little old ladies with like curly hair and like bonnets on? And I'm like, damn, that came out of your brain.
Yep. Well, and that being said, I also don't think they keep up with their website. So being us as an agency who builds websites, we definitely look at that and we're like, maybe a facelift for the website.
A refresh.
Yeah, I think that is like a standard thing. I haven't seen a lot of authors with really good websites.
Poor, no offense to anyone out there, but poor websites and poor social media, actually. But I think at the end of the day, though, they're like, we're writing every single day.
Yeah, so we don't care.
We don't care, and there's no time and all of that. But yeah, it is funny what is sort of current and what is not, right?
Yeah, it's like, man, you're crushing life. Like, you've written a million books. Like, maybe do another photo shoot.
Right.
Like, that's within 2021, you know, like this looks like it maybe was taken in 97, which is fine. Like, nothing's wrong, but like, we want to know about you. We want to know about like your process. We want to know your real life. Like, we don't want to know all the things. I mean, I feel like these are tame, and they're still like, my daughters will be like, what are you reading? I'm like, nothing. Let me look at it. It's fine. Like, you don't need to know. It's really unrealistic as well. That's not what I am experiencing every day. Like, that many abs. It's a lot of abs. Giant bulky men with that's a lot of abs. So
tell Braden he's got to hit the gym a little bit, you know, more.
Yeah, because that's not what we're doing here. Also, I would never date someone that had that kind of a body. I would feel so pressured to be fit that I just want someone that wants to eat fries and watch movies with me on the TV.
Same. I would actually, I've told Eric this many times, I would prefer it if he was a little bit fatter, because we weigh the same and that bothers me quite a bit. I'm like, dude, like, could you please just like 10 pounds? I'm asking for 10 pounds of difference at least.
Eat some French fries and eat some milkshakes
it's fine. But yeah, no, I definitely agree with you on that one too. So then because we talked about this ahead of time, who is your favorite character out of her Dark Protectors series then?
Okay, so this one was tough because you and I have talked about this in the episode before. It does feel like the characters do start to become a little bit homogenized after so many books, which some of it can be said, like in a family, there's probably similarities.
Yeah.
To a degree, you know, but it does feel like in this series, especially, no matter what the race of creature it is, it's all the same thing. It's people that are looking for strong-willed women, but want to protect them, hence the name Dark Protectors. And so make them do things they don't want to do, but like they definitely are overprotected and want to kind of lock these people down for their own good. And then it's the same song every time, no matter what. And I feel like she's definitely got a lot more diversity in her female characters that come in, like all the mates of these creatures.
Yes.
They have a little bit more variation, but it all ends the same, right? It's women who don't want to be told what to do that end up just being in love and saying, whatever you want, we'll do it, whatever.
Yeah.
Agreed. So that is a little bit interesting. I think my favorite character out of all of them though, is I think it's from book two, the woman who ends up being the queen, which is the sister. And she is a super intelligent scientist. She kind of evaded these getting like hunted down by these vampires, but she continues. She's in like almost all the books because she's doing all of the research on doing research on this like virus that is the impending threat of the entire, that's like looming over the entire series. But I really like her because she, number one, she never dies. She's immortal too, because when they mate, they get these chromosomes, whatever. And she just like is a t-shirt and jeans kind of lady, but she's still the queen. And she like is so absorbed in her work because she has kind of a higher calling than all of this nonsense. I find that to be super interesting because that is, I don't know, I can like kind of see myself in that. Is like, you just want to work. Just let me work in this lab and figure this shit out and don't bother me. Mm-hmm. Like, that's kind of my jam.
Like, this sounds, wait, sounds familiar.
Who is this? Yeah.
We're still talking about the same person.
Yes, that's kind of my favorite. Emma's my jam.
Yeah, okay, I like that. So for me,
let's do this. Time out. Oh. Let's do this. I'll pick a girl. You pick a girl, and then we'll pick guys.
Okay. Okay.
What's your favorite female character?
Oh, I really liked Emma too. I really liked Emma, but I think I really enjoyed, I liked the daughter, Jamie, who, because you see her progression through the series, right? When she's 6 years old and everyone wants her for some reason, they don't disclose until, you know, later. Mm-hmm. But I like her, and all of Zanetti's female characters do this, where there's just this, you know, underlying spark of rebellion and not going to like do things that they're told. So I like her storyline. I like the angst that she has between like the, you know, the Cursion character who wants to, you know, marry her and take her away, mm-hmm. and between the man who eventually becomes her mate. Right. So I like that weird threesome friendship that they have, you know, at times saving each other's lives and all of that. But I also like that she just fully rebels. Like, she's like, okay, so I know I'm the nephew of, or the niece of, you know, the niece of the king, you know, Emma's husband kind of thing. But she's like, but I'm still like trying to just do my own thing and find my own way. Right. So I appreciate that. And I think I empathize with her too, because she's very much an empath, and she feels all these emotions. And as both of us have that ability to really like pick up on other people's energetic, you know, bodies and what they're doing, it's like, oh my gosh, how do you protect yourself from that? And how do you like navigate life through that? And she's had to do it since such a young age. So it was like really kind of a resonating storyline for me too. My problem is that I do this in almost every book I read, where I get super loyal to the characters that I'm reading in the moment, like in that book. And when I finish a book, I'm like, that's it. I have loved them the most. I cannot move on. I cannot possibly dive into another book because I have loved these characters. I have struggled and cried with these characters. And then when I start the next book, I'm always super reticent, because I'm like, it's not gonna be as good as the last one. I know it's not gonna be as good. So I have this problem where I have this intense loyalty, and I'm like, this is gonna be my favorite one. This is my favorite character. This is my favorite, like couple story, all that sort of stuff. And then of course I get to the next book. I'm like, well, this is pretty good. Okay. I'm doing all right. Kind of thing. And then it happens again, where it's like the second book. I'm like, oh, this is the best. She couldn't possibly like rope me in any further. And then by the end, you've read 14 books and you're like, oh, I love them all.
Okay. They're all good. They're all good.
Struggle with that.
That is an interesting segue, because the person that Janie marries is my favorite male character.
Yes.
Is that blend. He's like the blend. And so we won't go into it because I want to ruin it for you guys. But he was the most interesting because he did have that like loyalty to another clan, I guess you'd call it.
Yeah.
You know, and so that was super interesting, and how they met. I really liked that whole storyline, and it did drag on for a few books because they did write her as a child. And so they were able to kind of go through not only her, you know, growing up, but him too with her. Yeah. So that, I thought that was super interesting. So what was your favorite guy character?
So my favorite was actually Emma's husband, Dage, however you say his name. Yeah. The king. Yeah. And I liked it because, for me, I like the fact that like, dude, he has all these responsibilities. He's in charge of the entire clan, you know, and he also, but like people keep trying to like, not break him in a bad way, but like break him in a good way, like soften him up, or like have him like, anytime she wrote him where he like busted out laughing or like cracked a smile, I'm like, yes, you know, that's what we're going for. So like, he's a super serious role, but he also like, she wrote him so well, I think that he was able to also be very human, you know, even though he's not, kind of thing. So I enjoyed that, and just the shit that, you know, Emma would give him. But I like that overarching. That was a great couple pairing for sure. But I like his continuation throughout the entire series, and like how he really is like that kind of father figure, but everyone pushes him, especially the males, and everyone tests him. And he's like, you know what? It's gonna be fine. It's gonna be great. So I'm gonna lose my shit every once in a while, but then I'm gonna rein it back in. And yeah, I like that people tried to poke him and like make him more human in that sense. Yeah.
I love that. That was so good. Okay. So I feel like we've really dug into Dark Protectors. And if you haven't read them yet, obviously these are like these are really great starter romances, because they really give you the like sex that you're looking for, and very like graphically described, but not in a way where it distracts from the story. Like, there's definitely been times where I've kind of skimmed the sex scenes because I wanted to get to the climax of the story. And like, I was so hungry to like to know the mystery, but I was like, whatever, we don't need to know this yet. We just need to know, get to the point. Like, I need the answers of what's happening. So I think that is a good testament to writing where you're not like, it's not just for the sex. Like, it's really for the story.
It is. Yeah. Yeah.
Good story.
I agree.
Perfect. So definitely read that. Now let's move on to talking about, what are you currently reading? What is actually on your nightstand right now?
Right. So I just literally finished. So I haven't started my next one. I finished last night. I had to look it up on my Libby app. it's called The Wrong Marquise. Right. Hey. Apologies for all of you who know what that word actually, how you actually say it. You know, in the line of all things, by Vivian Lorette. So this is another period piece. And so I just finished it. So romance, it was actually really fantastic. And I like her because she is a very clever, very, funny, author who was writing. And it's the same story that we talk about all the time. It's a group of three friends. This is actually the third one in the series, cause I couldn't get the first and second one in time, but it doesn't matter. Obviously.
You read them in that order?
I read them out of order. Yes, I did. Yeah, I know. It's blasphemy, but I also like, the other two are on hold and coming, so it's fine. But same thing, it's a group of three friends who they all, you know, fall in love with Marquises, whatever you call them, Duke level kind of people. And it's the dance, it's the, you know, back and forth of their storyline. So I really highly enjoy it. She's a new one I found. So I like reading new authors when I can stumble upon them.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. How about you?
I finished two books over the weekend. The first one was The Giver of Stars, which I read in one night because I woke up at midnight and couldn't go back to bed. So I read it over like 3 hours and it was good. Through this romance, I feel like hers are just more like good, I don't know, good feelers. There's no sex. So I'll just be clear. There's not like any sex scenes in them, but it's a good story. And it was about women who ran a pack horse library in, maybe it was Salem, in like the 1930s. Very interesting. Didn't know what it was going to be about, but really liked it. And then I read The House in the Cerulean Sea by TJ Klune. And that one was delightful.
I loved that one. I loved that.
I did love it. The one thing that I will say, that this may be an unpopular opinion, but when I opened up the book to read it, the title at the top, like some critic put this up and he was like, feels like a big gay blanket. And so I'm like, okay, so you know, it's like a gay romance novel. But I was like, but like, that's taking away from the beauty of the actual book. Like, to categorize it as just like a big gay blanket, I'm like, this was such a beautifully written, rich story about a transformation of a man because of circumstances with another man, but also with children and with like other characters in the story. Like, it almost is not like giving it its due, like its due course. You know what I mean? Like, it really is so much more of a story. And they only like end up kissing at the end. And I'm like, man, give me more of that. Like, and why does it need to be that? Like, why can't this just be a romance novel? Do you know what I mean? It's just a thing where it's like, you're putting it in a genre that it doesn't even need to be. Just put it in the general, like, it's a beautiful book. Like, it's beautiful. The characters are amazing. I did find it interesting too, because I didn't realize this guy's written a lot of stuff.
He's written a ton. This was his first New York Times bestseller, but he's written a lot, especially in the YA. And he's also from Roseburg, Oregon, which is like 2 hours from where I grew up. So I feel like I know him, even though I've never met him. I'm like, oh, he's one of ours, you know, kind of thing. Yeah. He's written pretty prolifically. And I've read quite a few of his other stuff after I read this one. And they're all like just as wonderful and touching and funny. And it's like, oh my goodness. So yeah, I'm the same way. Like, I'm never quite sure. And yeah, again, this might not be a popular opinion, but like, I get the label of like LGBTQ+, like if you want to, like the book goes underneath that, but I'm also like, but it's same thing. It's just a beautiful story. So like, why do we necessarily have to put it under that? Cause like he writes so richly, so wonderfully weaves everything together. And it's so heartfelt. I literally was like crying, you know, at the end of that one. And it's like, it just needs to be its own thing.
Just a book. Yeah. Well, and it's to me, when I see that label of like LGBTQ+, I'm like, oh, this must be a coming out story or someone understanding their sexuality type story. You know, something where it's identifiable and people that identify with any of those labels will see themselves in that. You know what I mean? So this story really wasn't that at all. It wasn't talking about anyone's sexual orientation really. It didn't talk about someone coming out. It didn't talk about any kind of struggle or internal battle with being gay at all. So like,
Yeah, it was literally just like a very tiny part of the book, you know, and it just, it was like this beautiful love story that was almost like a second focus of the book, you know, where, and I mean, they just happened to be men. That's really how it felt, was like, I expected this to be like really about someone struggling with their sexuality, and it wasn't that at all. So it was a very, very beautifully written book for sure. And of course, then I Wikipedia'd the guy and I'm like reading about him, and he labels himself, interestingly enough, as asexual. I read that he wanted to start writing about LGBTQ romance because that was just a gap in the market and he didn't see a lot of people represented, which I think is great. So he did that, but he ended up, I think, marrying another author that he met at a convention. I think, unfortunately, that author did pass away from just illness, but I just found it to be super interesting. And I would love to have him write a book that was a little bit more autobiographical about like an asexual like person or character. Yeah. I think that would be super interesting
to read. And we should see if he wants to come on our podcast, because I would love to chat with him and like pick his brain about all the things.
Yeah, I want every author to come on our podcast and tell me all the things, like tell me the process. Tell me that I like want to get in the nuts and bolts.
Yes. You're like, tell me all the secrets of all the things. He also just wrote, just for everyone's knowledge who's listening and for yours, I just finished the first two. I have to look it up real quick. He just had a new series released and it's called The Extraordinaries, which is delightful. Yeah, as well.
Like it? Okay, good. I'm going to read those because I want to talk about those. And I thought what I also found fascinating about that book is that he wrote so well, like their speech, their joking. It reminded me a lot of like, I used to love as a kid, Roald Dahl books. He's my favorite author, my favorite children's author, and just the cadence and the way people spoke and like just the humor that was included in the dialogue. It reminded me a lot of those books. So I was shocked when I realized he wasn't from Great Britain. I like, couldn't believe it, because it felt like I could hear the accents. Also, me and Brayden were watching Ted Lasso, which is like set in England, which is my freaking favorite show of all time. So all those characters' voices, I'm like hearing as I'm reading, you know what I mean? So it made it even better. But yeah, it was so good. Have you watched Ted Lasso?
I have not. Yeah, I know. And you need to, I need to, because it's, I get it. I get it.
It's so good.
This is also my thing, talking about books to movies. So, you know, like, so when I first read Harry Potter, like we talked about last time, I created a very specific image of my mind of Harry and Hermione and Ron and all these things. And then when I saw the movie, like fine, but also like not who I was expecting, because my head had created something else. So I always find that transition between the two things. Like one of my favorite all-time authors, Sarah J. Maas, she's working on one of her more popular series is getting translated to probably Netflix, you know, or no, it's Hulu. It's going to Hulu. Oh, mm-hmm. And I'm loving that. And I'm also terrified for that, because I'm like, but it's one of my all-time favorite series ever. And I know that it's not going to like match up in my head, you know, kind of thing. So I sometimes struggle with that, but I agree. He did a great job with the British piece of it for not being, you know, British.
Yeah, for sure. So we're going to need to have a whole series, even though it's not really romance, of Discovery of Witches, because that is a show. So around Halloween, we'll record for that, because we need to get into it, because I'm rereading. I'm actually just starting it last night.
Yes. And this, I don't know, the third season's probably coming out next year, but yes, we can talk about all things. So good.
Dig into that. So I feel like this was a great first episode. We did it. Yay. All right. So guys, you can go ahead and visit our website if you want links to these books. And if you guys want to leave us a review, tell us about what you liked about the episode, and let us know what other authors you'd like to hear about on our podcast.
Love it. Okay. I think that's a wrap then for today. And we will see you next week. We are talking about Julia Quinn. It's Bridgerton time, you guys, because we couldn't not talk about it, because
favorite.
Still all the rage. And we at least didn't do it for our very first episode. So you guys are welcome. Okay.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. We kind of like waited for this one, but it's going to be good, because I want to reread anyway. So this is going to give us time to do that. It's going to be good. It's
coming in hot, you guys.
Perfect. See you guys next time.
Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Bodice Rippers Romance Novel Podcast. We are just so completely delighted that you guys are tuning in and listening to all things romance novel related, as well as all things in a completely different tangent. We're here for big conversations, small conversations that are on topic and off topic. Please, 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 if you have a second, just rate, review, subscribe, leave us a note, leave us a message. It just really helps us in the podcasting world, as we pretty much want to be doing this full time because we just love chatting about all things romance novels and talking with all of you guys. So if you have a quick second, let us know how we're doing. And of course, if you have any feedback, just pop us a review and let us know what we could do better, could do worse, or could do more in a hilarious fashion. And until next time, you guys, get out there, read those romance novels, and let us know what are your juiciest takeaways. Talk to you soon.